Version number 12325, René Kizeré, Reel 5.
Then, where were you? I don't remember.
You were talking about the letter saying there must not be a strike.
Oh, yes.
You were warning them that there mustn't be a strike.
Then we started shouting to each other. He was insulting me as a British spy. I was to insult him as a stubborn man who was very proud to show that he never changed his mind. At last, I found a way. I told him, look, I am sure that all the other members, leaders of the other party, would have agreed to make an arrangement. Because you told me no, they will know. If they agree to agree, he told me, yes, I agree, but they will not agree. I stopped. I didn't want to carry on. I had his promise that he will agree. Then I went to see one after the other. At each one, I said the same thing. Told, if you agree, the other agrees. Then I agree. I went to party. They told me that if you agree, they agree. You know, I did this trick. And he was caught. Then I made them all together. I told him, there is an agreement now. Let's go and see Katcha. I telephoned Katcha, we are coming. Then we went there, and Span was furious. But he couldn't, because I told him, if you don't respect the vote of all of you, you are a fascist. You say you are communist, then you are Democrat. You must accept the vote. Then he accepted, couldn't say one. Then we went to Katcha, and then McFarlane came. We have been discussing for the whole day. It was already the 3rd of March, and the following morning it would start. Now we must know one thing. The Carabinieri, that military police, Italian, were eager to get their own back from the communists, because since the fall of Mussolini, the communists had been jeering at them and insulting them. They couldn't move. It was for them a revenge. They were very happy of waiting for that strike to shoot. And that's why London didn't want that. It was terrible. Then when we went there, we met the agreement that in the same evening, all the radio must shout that the strike was off, a popular demonstration, and later a referendum to see if the Italian people want a republic or carry on with the kingdom. Then all the radio were shouting like this, and the strike was stopped. And the Carabinieri were furious again. They hated the English for having obtained this one. In fact, I think a few days later, a demonstration took place at Galleria Vittorio Emanuele in Naples. I dressed as a civilian, and I went myself to attend it. It was full of people. It was something very funny. I saw a priest coming, vituperating against the king for the communist. There was a general who was blind. For the communist against, it was terrible, I couldn't believe it. But when Spano came, he was the last speaker, I swear, if he wanted, they could have a revolution on the spot. He's a very good talker. He put the fire on the people. It was really, I was impressed. And that's why he was sent to Spain, he was sent to China to move the people. He had this gift to talk with a certain vehemence version. He was terrible. Then, a few days later, Spano asked me if I could let him my car with my Italian driver for the night. I said, yes, but why? I can't tell you. I give it to you. I must know why. No, no. At that time, Eugenio Reale, the other commis, was there. Then he told me, excuse me, I will talk with Spano. He took Spano apart. They talked to him. They come, all right, I tell you what it is. Togliatti came from Russia. He's waiting for us. Man, you must know who is Togliatti. Togliatti had been the chief of the Italian communists from the start. When Mussolini took over, he escaped to Russia. He became a big man in Russia. He was, I don't know how you call it, controller in Spain. He was a member of the Comintern. And there is, they create a place in Russia called Tolyatograd on his name to make cars. He was a very big man. I told him, all right then, if you told me a lot, then he didn't need any, he has his paper who allowed him to go everywhere because there was the curfew. But I gave a paper to my driver and to Reale to go to some place south of Naples where Toletti had landed. But they had a lot of trouble puncturing the car. They came back. At that time, but before then, I had the opportunity to fly 6 or 7 times to Tunis, every time coming back with one head of the communists. First, the famous Valencia, I told you, my good son. And then, after that, it was a certain Gallico, who is brother-in-law of Spano. Then it was a certain Rossi, and certain Bensasson, and a certain Weiss. One after, I went 5 times to Tunis, every time. These guys, the Italian, with a British uniform, like my Batman, and came back. And I obtained a small flat for all 5 there. Then this Togliatti stopped in that flat. And he was having Russian, British, all these people, Togliatti included, were living with the Russians from, I was allowed to have the Russian. You know, I had a terrible power. You know, I never forget the card I had. Everybody must obey me in any outfit I was. I could be general, I could be civilian. Everybody was a wonderful card I had. Then Katia called me. He told me, I heard that Togliatti is here. Yes, I would like to meet him. I said, all right. I managed for a lunch together at a famous restaurant called La Finestrella. There is a famous Italian song, very well known. Na 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 na. It's from that very well-known restaurant. Then I dressed as civilian. I took Togliatti, Spano, and Reale. We went to a restaurant. Katia was waiting for us. Big lunch, not a word. When we finished lunch, Katia and Togliatti entered in room. For 2 hours, we didn't know what happened between them. And when he came out, they didn't say a word. Togliatti became the big boss, Spano. Since then, the communists had changed towards us. They were not the same. They were not the same people. Their attitude changed. I think that Togliatti must have received instruction from Russia to cut any relations with the British. And he spread the voice with other communists that I was a spy, British spy. Yes. Then, little by little, everything came down. Just at that time, Rome was being liberated. Then I was asked to go to Rome. I left all the communists, and I had an informer from Naples called Lamberti. He was a very good informer, but communists didn't know that. He was giving me all the information I wanted. I took him with me to Rome. We arrived in Rome. I never forgot what I have seen on the way before reaching Rome. A wave of, like a sea of prisoner, German prisoner coming down. A wave, something unbelievable. You know, millions of German coming down, prisoner, with nothing, even no guard, 1 or 2 guard British, that's all. I arrived in Rome. I wanted a flat. I went to see the town major. He gave me a flat. Then, oh my God. Yes, he said, no. Yes. Then I was in Rome then. In Rome, I had a boss was Captain John Collins, who became major. We were very friendly together, very friendly. And it has been decided that I should have a separate place, because our main office in Rome was Albergo Romano via, I can't remember the name now, the hotel, where all our offices were there with the girls, with the men. And on the top, we had a service direct with London for with foreign affairs, you know, wireless. Then we decided that I should have a place where I could be by myself, receive my informers. Then we found a beautiful villa at Via Salicetti, and they put with me as secretary a British lady who was married to an Italian but divorced, who has lived in Italy for many years, who spoke fluent Italian, and she was alone. I can't remember her name. I killed myself. She was so nice, so good to me. She was to put in right English what I used to tell her in Italian and in English, you know, to report to her what I have done with this and this. And I used to, she would, stenography, and she was to make beautiful report like the best Shakespearean man could write, exact what I said. It was wonderful, really. She was very helpful. I can't remember her name. Sometime I...
Enfin. You've got an awful lot of names to remember, no, Captain Kisraeli.
Then, sometimes, at that time, Badoglio, who was the prime minister, disappeared. And the communists wanted him, he wanted to kill him, to pass in front of the court and condemn him to death. One day I was with some other officers dancing. I remember on the name. Do you know the Laura? La, 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 la. It was the first time that we heard it. It was at famous restaurant where we used to spend every night. I was dancing. A dispatch rider came, saluted me. I was frightened. Dispatched at midnight. I thought something happened to my family in Tunis. He gave me tomorrow morning at the first time to see the British ambassador. Then I went home, and there was a note from Major Ashford Russell. A word from Major Ashford Russell asking me that the following morning he will come to pick me up at 7:30 in the morning. He came and said, what is this about? He told me, I don't know. Sir Charles Noel, who is the British ambassador, wants us urgently. We went to. I was really frightened to death. When we arrived there, we had been waiting a few minutes. Then we went in with the British ambassador. We saw Badoglio. He was there. Then the British ambassador said, Badoglio escaped, has been hiding with his cousin farm in Piemonte, and he knows that they want to kill him. He wants us to help. I am not allowed. I can't be involved in politic question like this. You must manage it. Then Ashford said, looking at he told him, that is the man about me. I said, all right, we come this evening. Is it dusk or dawn in the evening? At dusk or dawn in the evening?
Dusk. Dusk in the evening, yes.
In fact, I went, at that time, we had an office at Via Paraguay, where Major Ashford Russell had his office with the girls. And I used to go there myself, not to leave, but I used to go there to for the business, you know. Then I went to see the place with my sergeant. I called our sergeant. I told him, look, we are coming this evening at dusk with a big shot Italian. He will be disguised as British officer. I know that you flirt with the daughter of the portieri, because, you know, in Rome, all the building, more or less modern. At the entrance of the building on the left, there was always a small room where the porter stayed with all the keys and the lights and everything there. And I knew that the girl takes over from her father in the evening. Then I told him, you know, you flirt with the girl. You stay with her. When I make a sign with you, two signs. One I like, get yourself ready. When I both do what I want. What I wanted was to put the lights off, to allow Ashford Russell and Badulu to enter without being seen. In the evening, we went with two different cars. Major Ashford Russell in car and my car. We went, I gave a trench coat and a British officer cap to Badoglio. He wore them, he put in the car, and I went ahead with Major Ashford Russell behind. A little behind. I arrived in time, and in the, because, you know, there is a main road which is called Viale Liegi, and in the corner there is this Via Paraguay. I was waiting. When I saw the car turning the corner to Via Paraguay, I looked at the sergeant. I did this. Then he told her, "What is this? What is this?" What? When they arrived, the car was stopping. "What is this?" Tuck! All the light went off in the building. Major Ashford Russell and Badolo entered and they went. He spent many days in the room hiding there. The trouble is with that. The same evening, I had Togliatti for dinner because I was very close to these people. And with Major Ashford Russell, we used to invite all the politicians for dinner or breakfast or something like this. At the same night, I had Togliatti for dinner. And the following morning, I had Nenni, the head of the Socialist Party, for breakfast. We had no time to cancel the... Then, as soon as we left Badoglio, I went to fetch Togliatti. He was at dinner with us. And he was investigating against the Badoglio. He sold Italy. And Badoglio was... Following morning, I went to fetch Nenni, because it was... You know, I was very close to Nenni's family. I used to go for breakfast almost every... And he helped me a lot later, I tell you what. And it's the same thing. Any one of them knew that Badoglio was, I wonder what would have happened. And it
what was Badoglio like? You know, when you experienced this episode with him, was he cooperative?
Badoglio was a big politician. He was cooperative long time before. He made he sent some of his emissary to Portugal, make arrangements with the American and the English, to sign an arrangement with them without the knowledge of the German. And when German learned that, they occupied Rome. And without telling the British and the American, he made arrangement with the Russian. He was very... He's a politician more than anything else.
How did you get on with him?
Oh, I talked to him when I took him there. And from time to time, I used to go to see him in his room, see if he needed something, but I didn't have a long conversation. I met him long time later as a civilian. I was invited at a party. I was civilian myself at a party in the north, and Badoglio was there. He looked at me, told me, but he thought that I was an Italian officer. He knew me. He told me, but I which regiment were you? I told him, I know the regiment. He told me, but I know you. He told him, yes, you remember Captain McKay. You are, say English? You are English? Yes. It was one time. Then, Badoglio, sometime later, I don't know what happened. I gave up. I don't know what they have done with Badoglio. I think they sent him away. In any case, Sir Charles Noel was very happy to get rid of him because he was very annoyed about it.
You seem to have had a lot to do with the Italian communists.
Oh, yes.
You know, would you say you had a role in setting up the Italian Communist Party Did you help the Italian Communist Party?
Yes. I had to mean the sense that they were allowed to communicate with their people in the north throughout. That is the arrangement Bruce Lockhart had from Macmillan. That we helped the Italian to do that with their people in the north. At the contrary, they gave us some people to send behind the lines to do our job or get in touch, because we used to send British officers behind the lines. Then we needed to be received by people helping them there. Later, there is another story I tell you later.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? Someone like Macmillan, who is, you know, known to be anti-communist, that he actually at certain times supported.
It was our interest. We needed very badly to get in touch with the North. We needed very badly to send people, our people in the North, to collect information, political and military. It was very important. We had no way. It's since then that we started to have so many officers behind the lines in Italy who had done some beautiful job. No, it was very, very well timed, very good. It's thanks to be honest, it's thanks to Lieutenant Colonel Bruce Lockhart who had this idea. And Macmillan accepted, agreed. Yeah. Then.
This Bruce Lockhart.
Yes.
Who was your superior?
Yes. He's the head of our. The head of the Italian branch of ISLD. He was a big man.
Yes.
He was a very nice man.
Yes, would this be the son of the Bruce Lockhart, who was in Russia during
he's the nephew.
The nephew, I see.
But his father, I remember, if I know well, his father was the, how do you call it, the head of rugby school. One of the, how you call it?
The master of the
of rugby school. He himself has been educated at rugby school. And my son was at rugby school.
Yes, so this is really the story, isn't it, of your support and use of the Italian Communist Party. How about Mussolini? You know, did you ever see him or have any part in his downfall?
No. Oh, yes. No. In the meantime, I have been in touch with a certain Colonello Bertoni, an Italian, who has been very helpful to me, very. He used to help me, to give me many informations. And when the North, our troops advanced in the North, I have been assigned to go North. I have known an engineer whose name was Foglia. He used to be proxy of Fiat. He was mainly, his domain was to look after the mines that Fiat owned all over the world, because Fiat is a big thing. And in Portugal they had a mine. He was there a few months before, and he was in contact with the British ambassador there, and he left. When he came back to Italy, he heard that his firm and all the mines in Portugal were sending the product to Germany. Then he was eager to go back there and see what had happened. He asked for an exit permit from the Foreign Office, the Italian Foreign Office. He was waiting. Then I met him at the party one night. He told me all this story. He told me, I wish I could go there because I could help a lot the Allies by, first of all, find out who is doing this job and change this escape towards rather the British and the Allies rather than the others. And we became very friendly. When I was assigned, I told you, our troops went forward north, approaching Milano. I was assigned to go to Milan myself. Then, as Foglia was very important, he is a very important man because he was for Fiat, proxy. He came himself from Turin and Milan. Then I asked my office if I could take him with me. It would be help me a lot. They agreed. Then I put him on a British uniform, and We went to a with a convoy of RAC. I can't remember what convoy. We left to Milan. When we arrived to Milan, the first thing we did was to look after Valletta, the president, his vice chairman with Conte Camerana, a certain Giganti who was president of Sassena, I think, an Italian firm, which is a subsidiary of Fiat. And I obtained a van, a lorry, and a driver. They gave me, the town major was very nice. He gave me a lorry, and he gave me an Italian driver, civilian. We looked after this tree. Nobody knew we were there. Foglia remembered that Valletta had a cousin who has a farm in the north. Then he told me, let's go and find out if we could find him there. We went there, and when we arrived, the cousin said, I have no news of Valletta. But we couldn't. I told Foglia, because I was very observant, you know, I observed people by their way of talking. I understand if they are truth or no. I told him I don't believe him. And then he started, Commendatore Valletta, sono Foglia, sono qui. I am here with the British officer to help you. Then from the attic of the house, the window opened, Valletta shouting like this with his arm, smiling. He came down. The first word he said, Dio vi benedica, and God bless you. Then he told us why he left. He said that there are some ambitious executive of Fiat who wanted to oust him to take his place. And they had been fomenting with some collaborator, Italian fascist who collaborated with German, wanted to save their skin. And with some workers, communist worker, to foment some trouble. All with the idea that if he is ousted, they could take his place. He told us. And at that time, a horde of hoodlums, communists and others, were to shoot people for nothing. He's my neighbors. He did this against me. Tuck, hurry up. Then he was afraid. Then he told us, then I told him, what do you want ISLD to do with you? You have, because I forgot to tell you that Valletta, Gigante, and Conte Camerana helped a lot our people through Foglia. That's why I asked my office to have Foglia with me to come to North. They helped our people with money, with permit, with hideouts. They have done a lot. Conte Camerana was a leader of a fascist party. Once took one of the British officers, a major, dressed him as his driver, and he crossed the checkpoint, German checkpoint, with the driver, with the major. He was caught, he could have been shot. It was very. And Gigante had helped a lot for hideouts and permits with the authority. They have been very, very helpful. Then I told Valletta, when he told me the story, I told him, what do you want ISLD do for you? We must thank you. First of all, we'll pay back the money I have advanced to our people. And what can... He said, no, look, for the time being, wait and see. I am afraid to go back. Let's see how the event will move. Then we see later what we do. But you should go and help Camerana. Camerana was a leader fascist official. And the Italian, if they get hold of him, they will kill him right away. You must help him. And he told us that he was with his family in a small island. Near Stresa, in Italy, there was a very small island called Isolina. Isolina means very little hill, tiny hill, island. It belonged to the famous...
As long as we know the name of
No, the famous the compositor of the famous opera Cavaliere Rusticana.
Oh,
what is his name?
Yes, but not to worry, because that's not important. It's the name of the island. Which
yes,
is
it's Isolina.
Isolina, yes.
Then we went to Stresa. we hired a small rowboat, and it was only a few yards from the lens. We went to the Isolina. We crossed behind the window. He was coming out with his wife and children, two children, having lunch. When he saw us, he was frightened. He didn't know. So two British officers, he didn't know what happened. Then he came out. He recognized Folia. He was very happy. Then he introduced me. His wife was related to famous of the family of